Imagine this, a group of people made up of several men sitting around a campfire. Almost 3 years of a battle, spiritual battle, physical battle at times. All kinds of things have happened in their life. It's been ups and downs. They're weary physically. They're weary spiritually. They've about had it. They're worn out. What they anticipated when they first began the journey hasn't happened yet. They were expecting a governmental takeover when they began to follow Jesus, but it didn't happen. They had a lot of questions and issues going on in their lives, and they didn't quite understand what was going on. They knew as they walked daily with Jesus that he was doing something and that he was God, because he had told them over and over and over again, but still they didn't understand. So here we have a setting of them sitting around a campfire. They're weary physically. Perhaps they've had something to eat, maybe they haven't. And bad news arrives. And now they need to know what to do. That's the background of the story that I want to share with you this morning here in John chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me. John chapter number 11, it ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over. John chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." And then in parentheses, it gives us a little bit of a background about them. It says, "It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." So John kind of gives us a little bit of a background of who this family was. Verse number 3, it says, "Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now, Jesus wasn't near Bethany at the time. He was quite a bit away. And here he was with his disciples, and they were ministering and doing what they're supposed to do. And Mary sends word to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, I know that you love us, but my brother particular who you love, he's very sick." Now, that word sick was not just a hacking cough. That sickness was a sickness where it was going to take his life. That's the kind of sickness he was dealing with. And they were running out of options. I'm sure they had seen all the different physicians. I'm sure they tried all the different cures and things that they knew to do. And so they say, "Let's call Jesus, because Jesus has healed people before. Jesus has even brought back a dead young man off of the funeral pyre. And we know and we've heard about it. He's even been in our home. Let's send for Jesus." So they send word to Jesus, and him and his disciples are sitting around, and word comes and says, "Jesus, Lazarus, who you love, he's very sick." I can imagine the heartbreak of Mary and Martha. Many of you can imagine it right now. You've got a loved one who's very sick. Maybe the doctors have said, "You know what? Send them home. There's nothing that can be done. You've seen all the physicians. You've paid all the money. You've done all the things. But their body is just about to give up." And you really wonder, is there any hope? Is there anything that we can do to help? Maybe you're dealing with the same situation today. Maybe you've got an issue. And you've tried everything. You've tried counseling. You've tried turning over a new leaf. You've tried getting financial loans. You've tried anything and everything, but it just seems that there is no hope. You've met with your family. You've met with your friends, and you've tried to have conversations, and nothing's happened. And you're just about ready to throw the towel, and you say, "You know what? It's never going to happen. Change." That's where Mary and Martha are in. They're desperate. "Jesus, your brother, your loved one, the one you love, he's very sick."
Jesus says something very peculiar here, though, in verse number 3, or verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said this, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, when he said death, he is not referring to physical death. Now, I'm sure when he said this, that he kind of got the raised eyebrow from his disciples. You know what I'm talking about? When somebody says something and you don't really believe, you raise that eyebrow up. How many of you get that from your wives, guys? What are you talking about? But here's something interesting. Look what Jesus says here. He says, this is going to take place so that the glory of God, the Son of God, might be glorified thereby. He says, this is going to happen so that the Son of God can be glorified. Let me give you a simple explanation of why you're going through what you're going through and why you're going to go through what you're going to go through eventually one day. Is so that God is glorified somehow, some way. See, we as human beings, we look at situations through human eyes. All we see is the present. All we see is what's taking place. But God sees the good picture. He sees the whole thing. He sees the past. He sees the present. He sees the future. And God's goal is that he's glorified in everything. You're ready to give up. But brothers and sisters, it ain't over till it's over. Now he gives us a little more background here, John does. He says now, verse number 5, he says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now do yourself a favor and put your name right after Lazarus. Put your name right there. It's okay to write in your Bible. Jesus loved Martha, her sister, Lazarus, and you. Put your name right there. Because he does love you. They're not more special than you. They're not the pick of the litter and you're second hand. No, he loves you just as much as he loves them. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, look what he does. He abodes or stays 2 days still in the same place where he was. So his disciples, they get the news, and I can see their reaction. Oh, Lazarus is sick. All right, guys, let's start packing up camp. Let's start getting things prepared. We're going to go heal Lazarus now. But for 2 days, they don't go anywhere. And I can just see the confusion in their minds. Wait a minute, why aren't we going? This sickness that Lazarus is experiencing, you know what? It's pretty bad. I'm sure that the messenger, when he brought the word that Lazarus is sick, I'm sure he went into great detail. Maybe he's projectile vomiting or something. Maybe he's got blood. We don't know. But evidently, when the messenger brought the word, it was serious. But for 2 days, Jesus does not leave. I can see the next morning they wake up. Why aren't we going somewhere? I thought Jesus loved Lazarus. Why aren't we packing up? Now, it doesn't say that they asked Jesus why they didn't go. But I know they were confused. I know they had something in their mind wondering, what's going on here? Let me ask you a question. I know we live in the state of North Carolina, but how many of you are living in the state of confusion right now? How many of you are wondering, Jesus, when are you going to show up? It's almost too late, Jesus. April 15th is tax day. No, not this time. They're giving you a couple extra days. You know as well as I do, if you don't get your taxes filed by a certain date, whoo, the IRS is on you. I remember seeing a news report of all the people waiting until 11:59 to go and put their taxes in their mailbox because they knew there was a deadline. And if that mail didn't get in the mail, the IRS would be looking for you. Some of you are living in that same situation. And you're telling God daily. Maybe you're telling God hour by hour, God, it's getting close. God, if you don't show up, if you don't do this, it's all finished. It's all over. And I'm sure that's what the disciples were wondering. Okay, Jesus, when are we going to go? When are we going to leave? But for 2 days, they sat there. Now, Mary and Martha, I'm sure they expected Jesus to get on his horse or his Harley, or maybe get on his Jeep or whatever, and come riding in. Calvary arrived, and the bugle's blowing. You like that, don't you? I'm sure they were anxious, and even Lazarus. I could just see him turning over and talking to Mary and Martha and saying, is he here yet? Has Jesus come yet? No, Lazarus, it's okay. Here, go back to sleep, buddy. He's coming. We sent for him. He's on his way. And then Mary and Martha kind of look at each other. I don't know. I'm hoping he's coming. 2 long days. 2 long days. The third day comes. Look what happens. He says, verse number 7, then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and go thou hither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And then these things said he. And after that he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. That word sleep was not this. That word sleep, Lazarus is dead. Now I'm going so that he may live again. Now I'm sure his disciples were kind of bewildered. Well, Jesus, why didn't we go and get there before he died? Why didn't you go ahead and show up and heal him so that he didn't have to die? But remember what Jesus said earlier to him 2 days before that. He says, this happening that's going to take place is going to bring glory to the Son of Man. Can I help you out with something this morning? God uses tragedy to bring glory to himself. Well, Brother Brian, I sure wish he'd pick somebody else. Because I don't want tragedy to take place in my life. I'll bring you glory to God. God, I'll tell you I love you. I'll glorify you everywhere I go. Just don't. And you fill the blank in. I can take a lot of things. And I can handle a lot of things. But I've got 4 precious people in my home that I could not take something bad happening to them. My wife and my 3 precious babies. And he's even been a part of my life at some times, but I've been so worried and so concerned and so consumed about them that I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes wondering, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And it consumes me. And I don't know what I would do if something happened. But you know what? I need to trust God on a daily basis, because they don't belong to me. They belong to him. And I trust God that he's going to do what's going to bring him glory. And I'm going to trust him, saying, okay, God, whatever takes place, I know there's hope. I asked you a few moments ago, and I made the statement, some of you are in the state of confusion. How many of you are in the state of confusion right now? Well, Brother Ron, I'm state of confusion because I don't know where you're going with this. There's hope, because it ain't over till it's over. look what else it says here. Continue on now. Verse number 12, his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. It'll be good for him to sleep. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's gone. He's dead. But here's verse 15. Here's an important promise I need you to understand, a reason why Jesus waited. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Fellas, I'm glad he died. I'm glad I wasn't there to heal him for your sakes. What? You're glad he's dead? For my sake? What's the deal, Jesus? I don't understand. Because brothers and sisters, realize this. Jesus knew what was about to happen in less than 2 weeks. See, this is a happening that takes place before he goes to be crucified. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was about to be crucified. He knew he was about to be buried. But you know what? He knew he was going to come from the grave. He knew it. And he's saying, guys, I want to give you hope, and I need you to understand that when it looks like it's over, when it looks like it's impossible, when it looks like there's no hope, it ain't over till it's over. Because we're going to go, and you're going to see something that man can't explain. We're going to see something that can only be done by God. Brothers and sisters, let God be God. You quit trying to figure things out yourself. Quit trying to finagle it. Because it ain't over till it's over. So they leave. Verse number 16, Thomas, which is called Didymus, said unto his fellow disciples, now he wasn't going to say this to Jesus, let us go also that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had already lain in the grave for 4 days already. So they get there, and by the time he arrives there, people have already informed him, well, if you'd have been here 4 days ago, Jesus, it'd have been okay. You'd have healed him. I can just see the looks. About time. Where have you been? That's how some of you are right now. All right, God, you said you'd show up. I was supposed to mail that stuff to IRS 4 days ago. I ain't got no money. What are you going to do now, huh? The divorce papers are finalized 4 days ago, God. You're supposed to heal it. Ain't happened. Go down now to couple of the verses. Let me show you something. Verse number 23. Martha's complaining to him, crying to him. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. And the last day he says, I know that, Jesus. He's going to rise again in the future. I know that because I believe the promises. I know he's going to come back to life. But that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said, Martha, I'm not talking about the future happening sometime. Your brother is physically dead at the moment, but physically he's dead, but spiritually he's alive. In 2 weeks, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We get to get our pretty dresses and our nice new suits and the bonnets, and we get to get all spiffed up and get our haircuts and take a shower, hopefully, that day. And we're going to show up, and we're going to, ooh, oh, beautiful dress. Wow, nice. Oh, you look so good with a haircut. Ah, it just oohs and ahs. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. But you know what? It becomes so commonplace that we just take it for granted. Oh, I know He arose, and I know that He lives, and I know yada, yada, yada. But did you know that He's the only that can make that promise and that claim? You know where Muhammad is? He's buried and gone, dust by now, never to come back again. You know where Buddha is? Same place. You know where all these other gods and these false prophets are? They are buried and gone. Not a single one of them ever is going to come back from the grave. But only Jesus is the one that's coming back from the grave. Only Him. That song that Miss Shirley sang a few minutes ago, she said, they walked away, never expecting to see Him again. But that third day came, and what a joy that was. So He says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And He asked her, do you believe this? And she said, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. See, she doesn't say that she believes that Lazarus is going to rise again yet. But she says, I know You're the Messiah, and I know You're the promised one. But I don't know how to wrap my mind around Lazarus coming back to life yet. Let me ask you an honest question this morning. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah? You believe that? Let me ask you an honest question, though. How many of you are expecting Him to come back for the church anytime? I know He said He would, but it hadn't happened yet. I've heard it for years, Brother Brian, all them old-time preachers yelling and screaming, Jesus is coming back! Be ready, sinner! And you've heard it, and you've heard it, and you've heard it, and you've heard it, but it ain't happened yet. I believe it, but I really don't believe it. That's Martha's attitude. She knows He's the Messiah, and she knows there's going to be a resurrection. She's just not sure of the details yet. Now, that's blasphemy, Brother Brian. No, it's real life. Because some of you are where Martha is right now. Oh, I know God can meet my need. And I know God can do the impossible, and I know He can heal, and I know He can fix, but it ain't happened yet. And the deadline's coming. I mean, it's right there. And it's getting close. And it's almost over. May I tell you, I'm right with you. I'm like that man that told Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. How many of you say, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief? How many of you are there? All those fancy words and everything, sometimes you just need Jesus to show up and take care of it. So Lazarus is dead. Been dead for 4 days. All right? Turn the page now, or go to chapter number, stay in chapter number 11, but go to verse number 38 with me. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, He came to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. It was rolled over. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead. Now, he had this conversation with us a little bit before. Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus, you don't want to go in there. Whew. He's got some issues. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus just get through telling her he was going to rise again? See, this is where I understand that Martha didn't really believe that he was going to come back to life right then. He believed a future resurrection, but she did not believe right away. Well, Brother Brian, I believe in the future this is going to be taken care of. And I believe sometime it's going to happen, but not right now. Brothers and sisters, why not now? Why can't it be today? Why can't Jesus change things right now? Well, it happens for everybody but me. No, not always. Not always. Look what Jesus says to her now. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? See, there's a play on words there. Usually, we want to see and then believe. But Jesus said, you've got to believe before you see. Oh, there you go, Brother Brian, that prosperity gospel. There it is. I knew it. I knew you'd get there. I'm going to name it, and I'm going to claim it, and then you're going to reward. You're going to ride in with a bucket full of money. Amen. He could, because God can do anything. But God is not promising prosperity. He's promising his presence and his fulfillment of his promises. I don't need prosperity. I need Jesus' blessings. I don't need fame and fortune. I need God's presence. Now, does God bless with prosperity? Yes, he does at times. Does God bless with a physical healing instantly? He does at times. There's too many stories out there where people have said, I had cancer and I had this and I went to see the doctor and the doctor said, I don't see nothing. So I know God does that. But what about the times it doesn't happen that way? What about it? Brothers and sisters, I can't explain it other than this. Trust God even when you don't see his hand. Trust him. And I've got to do the same thing that you do. I have got to place my faith in him minute by minute, hour by hour, day after day. I have to do the same thing because I don't know the future. But he does. And I just simply know this. God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trusting you that you're going to take care. Guess what? Balcony, I'm talking to you. It ain't over till it's over. God's got this. This side of the room, it ain't over till it's over. Hey, y'all in the middle, especially those up front. Hey, thank you for being up front. I appreciate y'all being up here. You're going to lose your Baptist card by moving up this close. It ain't over till it's over. I'm not going to figure out y'all over here. It ain't over till it's over. God knows what he's doing. Well, that's all fine and good for you, Brother Brian. But you don't know what I'm going through. I don't. But he does. Let me show you something interesting, though, that you may not have realized about all this happening and taking place. Stay here in chapter number 11, and I want you to go up to verse number 46. Verse number 46. Now, of course, Jesus brings Lazarus back from the grave, and he gets up and walks, and everybody's an ooh and an ah. And the first thing to tell him, hey, go take a bath. You need one awful bad. And they're taking the wrappings off, and they're hugging, and they're saying, oh, he's alive. And everybody's celebrating, and people trust God or trust Jesus, as they're saying. And it's just a wonderful celebration. But word filters back to the Pharisees about this happening. Word gets back to them, hey, Jesus brought somebody back to life. Now, that should cause celebration. But you know what? Those group of grumpy grumps, they don't want nothing good to come from Jesus. They've got their mind set. It ain't going to happen. We're going to get rid of him. Now, let me show you. Now, it's a little bit of unusual, but I want you to understand this. Jesus even uses the resurrection of Lazarus to get someone to say something good about him. Let me show you here. Verse number 46, and it says, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees that saw the resurrection and told them what things Jesus had done. And then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. And they said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? What are we going to do about him? If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. See, they didn't care about something good. All they cared about was what their power and their strength was. That's all they cared about. They cared about their position. They cared about their jobs. They didn't care that Jesus was loving people and raising people from the dead. They did not care. Verse number 49. And one of them, named Caiaphas, he was the high priest that same year, he said unto them, you know nothing at all. Now, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Now, Caiaphas was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. He hated Jesus just as bad as everybody else did. But he says something very poignant here. He says, it's important that one man die on behalf of the whole nation. And when you hear that, you're thinking, wow, he's really got it. He understands what Jesus is doing. No, he doesn't. He is simply saying, maybe we'll kill him and the Romans will leave us alone. We'll sacrifice Jesus and then the Romans will let us do what we want to do. But look what it says. Look what John says here. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in the one the children of God that were scattered abroad. He didn't know what he was saying, but he was still being used of God to prophesy that Jesus would die for let me help you out with something this morning. It ain't over till it's over. The naysayers say it's not going to happen. The naysayers say, you know what? It can't take place. Maybe even you're sitting there and Satan is sitting in your ear saying, it ain't going to happen. Just give up. There is no hope. He ain't coming back. You've lost her. It's over. May I tell you, as long as Jesus Christ is in control, it ain't over until it's over. Because Jesus Christ is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. He is the Savior. Yes, our loved ones have died. And maybe they've gone to heaven. If they knew Jesus Christ, their Savior, they're in heaven right now. And you know in your heart that you're going to see them again. But you really wonder and doubt sometimes. When is it going to happen? May I tell you, brothers and sisters, because He lives, we also live. He is going to return for His church any moment. That's the next great event that's going to take place in the church. Is Jesus Christ bodily return in the clouds, and the church is going to meet Him in the air. The Bible says it. Trust in that. It's not too late. But there may be some of you who are sitting the fence right now. I don't know about this Jesus thing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm ready to trust Him yet. May I tell you, the only thing that sitting the fence gets you is splinters. Trust Jesus. Ask Him to be your personal Savior. He's the only way. One last question for you. What is impossible for God? Nothing. Absolutely cotton picking nothing. It ain't over till it's over. I'm thankful for that great theologian, Yogi Berra. But I'm even more thankful for my Savior. He's alive. He's in control. He's coming back. Are you ready? Rapture practice. It ain't over, brothers and sisters. God's got this. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I'm hoping that God's Word brought some hope to you today. I'm hoping that God's Word brought you some peace. I'm hoping that when you leave here this morning, there is no more confusion. But I know we as human beings, there's still that seed of doubt. So let me ask you a question. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. How many of you be honest enough to admit this morning, Brother Brian, there's a situation that I'm really wondering about. Maybe it's too late and I don't know what to do. And I'm scared. Would you pray that God would give me that faith that Jesus was talking about? Would you raise your hand? Just be honest this morning. Raise your hand. My hand's up. Anybody else? Just be honest this morning. It's almost too late, Brother Brian. Anybody else? Can I tell you, by the authority of the Word of God, it ain't over till it's over. My Savior is mighty. He's the one. Ask Him to do what needs to be done. Get out of the way. Let Him be God. Father, you know our hearts. You know the precious hands that went up and the situations in everybody's life this morning. God, some of us may not have needed this right now, but there's a future time it's going to happen. We're going to need it. Let us trust Jesus to show up right on time. He's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. Thank you, God, for that promise. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Won't you come this morning? The altar's open. Won't you come? Whatever the need is.